This is so good because it's the last session. We do these revival meetings and we do vacation Bible schools and all that. And every time it's the last day, although I love getting there and getting on it, I always am excited for the last time because then I get to go home and start over again, I guess. But anyway, I'm excited about getting to be your last speaker. But remember, I'm going to give away this sapphire ring. Right now, I got all the subscriptions. There's about 27 subscriptions that you ladies came up with during this meeting. I'm going to go in here. I thought about setting it up with somebody I knew, but I don't know that many people, so I thought I better not. So I'm just going to pick one out random, and who thinks, is your name going to be in here? Is your name going to, yes, you're the one. Okay, I got it. Okay, here I go. I'm going to pick one. And the name I have is from Garner, North Carolina, Kathy Long. Where's Kathy Long? Is she here? Oh, wow. I hope you like this ring. I sure liked it. I thought about wearing it on my pinky and keeping it myself. Thank you so much, Kathy, for subscribing to Christian Womanhood. Let's give her a hand. Now, I'm going to speak tonight, this afternoon on Living Without Waves. Living Without Waves. Each month I have a theme for the magazine, and this was April's theme. And what living without waves is living without worry. I don't know if y'all can relate to this or not, but it's my hobby to worry. My husband's out hunting elk and mule deer right now, and that's his hobby. And I like it that he gets to be out there because he's away, and I get a lot of work done while he's away. But I like it that he's out there because it rejuvenates him. It helps him. Well, my hobby, I don't think it rejuvenates me and helps me, but I sure like to do it. I like to worry. I like to worry so much that I told my husband one time, I said, Kevin, I said, you just don't worry about anything. You ever have a man like that? He just don't, I think in my mind, it's because he don't think of any details of life. You know, he's just up here with all the ideas and how to get all these souls saved and how to make my life miserable. No. So I said to him one time, I said, Kevin, you don't worry about anything. He said, I don't need to. You worry enough for both of us. So if you can relate to that, this talk's for you. Every year I try to work on something in my life. Now, I laugh about worrying, but let me just tell you, worry is a sin. You know, it's a sin just like gossip, them women gossiping. That was a sin. You know, worry is a sin like going out and taking a sip of beer. You know, it's a sin. And we should live our life working at not sinning. So whatever in your life that you have that you say, you know what, that's something I do and I need to stop doing it, then you need to make a plan on how to stop worrying. I like to worry about everything. You know, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You know, you just sit there and rock. You don't do anything. You know, you don't go anywhere. I like to worry about the future. I've been scared to death about identity theft. You know, I got debit cards, and I'm afraid somebody's going to go in the internet. I had my computer connected at the motel, and I thought somebody's going to get in on my computer, and they're going to find out my address, and they're going to do, you know, I think identity theft. You know, so every time on AOL, that's my carrier for my email, every time they say something about identity theft, I read the article. One time they said that you're not supposed to sign the back of your card, so I didn't sign the back of my card, and I wrote, see photo ID, you know, so I put that there. Then I got to the post office this year, and they said, we can't take your card unless you've signed the back of it, and I thought, they're going to steal all my identity if I do that. You know, I'm worried about identity theft. I'm worried about my house being clean when I've got people coming over. Now, my house is only about 8 by 40 foot, so it's not much to keep it clean. Well, maybe it is a lot to keep it clean. Remember all the animals and people and all this stuff. But anyway, so you worry and worry and worry about getting your house clean, and then within 5 minutes of a whole crowd of people being in there, you can't even tell you cleaned it, so why worry about it? You know, are you worried about making a good first impression? You know, have you ever gone to a situation? Now, I don't really relate to you. You know, some of you, every hair is in place. Your outfit looks real together. Now, my outfit, it's not really together. It's about half together. But, you know, but I'm just saying, there's some people, they got this, they're just prim and proper. And they say, oh, how are you doing? I'm well. And I'm thinking, no, I'm good. You know, I'm really good. Now, if you say, well, I'm not putting you down. I'm just telling you, I'm not as comfortable, you know, and I want to make a good impression. So when I go into your churches, it's the first time I've been there forever, or, you know, I don't know anybody, I'll walk around and I'll talk to people. And when I get up to you, and if I see that you're one of those people, I say, hi, I'll try to be like you. I'll say, hi, how are you today? And they said, well, I'm just well. And I said, I'm well also. It don't seem natural to me, though, does it? But I'm worried about making a good first impression. I'm going to be speaking in Raleigh, North Carolina next month, November 8th and 9th, 8th and 9th. And I've never been to that meeting. And I'm a little bit nervous about going there because I don't know. I know that Beacon Baptist Church. I know that church very well. And I love the ladies there and they're easy to be with. But it's all the other people that are coming that I don't know and I haven't met. I'm going to walk around there and I'm going to try to get to know them. But I'm going to be nervous about it just a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. But I worry about future things. I worry about past things. Now, you know, future things are fear. You know, that the root of my worry for future things is fear. Fear is an anxiety that is caused by real or imagined discomfort, rejection, or danger. You know, fear is not from, you know, when I fear something that's going to happen, that's not from God. You know, God is not the author of fear. The only fear that he wants us is the fear of the Lord. You know, and I've been challenged recently, ladies, that I am supposed to put the fear of the Lord in my young people that I'm around. Next year, I'm going to speak on that to teenagers because we should be giving them the fear of the Lord. If you have teenagers or young people at home, give them the fear of the Lord. But the other kinds of fears, we're not supposed to have. So that's the basis of future worry. Past worries are, I messed up. Will God ever use me? I hurt someone's feelings. Now she'll never like me. When I first took over this magazine, listen, you know I'm fast. Fast people are not real detailed. You know, for me to have to put your name and address in a computer, the data file of my magazine, it's painful for me to even think about the details. You know, because I'll put a letter wrong and, you know, it's just a mess. Well, in April, I had a lady that was helping me with the magazine, but she had to step down for some different reasons. It's no problem. But when she stepped down, then I had to send the magazine off the first time. Now, I don't know if you know anything about emails. You know that you're supposed to, when you send a big, massive one out, you're supposed to blind copy them. Some of you are shaking your head. Some of you, you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're like me. I understand you. I relate to you. Because that, in April, when I sent the magazine out, I sent all the names of every subscriber on this email and sent it out. And everybody could read everybody else's email address. I got worried about all the Mary Kay consultants that were subscribers, that they would take that email mailing list and they'd be sending emails to everybody. You know, I thought about, oh, this lady, she sells soap and she wants everybody to buy her soap. So she's going to take this whole big mailing list and send it out. So that day, I'm trying to figure out a way to get back to them and tell them, I made a mistake. Please don't send this, forward this at email address, these addresses to anybody else, you know. So I was frantically trying to fix it, you know, because I thought, I look so stupid to these people. You ever done something like that? Well, that same day, that very same day, my husband and I go out for breakfast. That's our date. I like to go out for breakfast. I got all of his attention. I tell him everything I'm worried about, and he tells me not to worry, and it's great. So we went out for breakfast that morning, and I had carried his schedule book in and left it. We were in North Carolina over near, it's a little town. They only had one little restaurant. So we went to that little restaurant. We sat at the booth, had his schedule book there. Now, his schedule book is our lifeline. You know, we have it online also, but he likes a schedule book. So when we left that restaurant, we drove to Durham, North Carolina, and I left the schedule book at the restaurant. This is the same day I mailed out this email to all these people. You know, have you ever done anything? I mean, when you do something stupid, you might as well do two or three at one time. So I go in and I call the restaurant. Hello, how you doing? You know, and they're real friendly. You know, I said, well, did I leave a black book there? Let me look. And so they looked all around. No, I don't see no black book. And I thought, oh, no, the black book's not there. Where else could it be? You know, I just started worrying about where else could it be, you know, all that. Well, then that same day, I went to the post office. And I'm standing in line 30 minutes to mail out this order for somebody. And I'm standing in line 30 minutes, carried two big boxes in to mail them out. And I get up to the post office window, and it was $78. And I said, here. And I give him my debit card. And she said, I can't take your debit card. I said, why? She said, because our system is down. And I wanted to say, why don't you post a big sign? Or why did you let me stand in line? You know, you ever want to fuss at somebody for being stupid? So I said, well, where's that? I didn't fuss at her. I wanted to really bad. I've been around JoJo too much. She don't fuss at people. She just sort of, well, praise God. I don't say praise you. But anyway, I'm too human. I think so. You know, don't get behind me in store lines because something is going to happen. I just know it. Something is going to happen. But anyway, so I had to drive about 20 minutes out of my way. I got home from that post office trip. Couldn't find my husband's book. Made that big mistake. So I tried to email again using my email account, and they said I'd sent out too many that day. They wouldn't let me email anything to even tell you the subscribers I'd made this big mistake. So I started getting emails from people saying, did you know you did this? And I wanted to say, yes, but I can't fix it. You know, it was just one of those days. Bunch of stupid mistakes that I made. You know what I did? What any good woman would do when she's worried about all these past mistakes, I took a sleeping pill and went to bed. I really did. I said, Kevin, I've done this and this and this. I said, I can't fix anything more. The lady at the restaurant said, call back tomorrow morning. The same waitress will be there. And I said, I just can't fix any. You know, my email was shut down. They wouldn't let me email it. I just said, I'm just good. I took a sleeping pill. They're melt-aways. You know those little melt-aways all over the counter? I keep them in stock for just such a time as this. I'm like Esther, you know, my little pill is there for such a time as this. I don't take it often, but boy, when I want it, I take it. So I took a sleeping pill and I conked out. The next morning I woke up and I called the restaurant and they had the book, you know, and we had to get the preacher to go pick it up and mail it to us. And I'd mailed the stuff out, so that was already out. And then the next day the email provider let me send another email out and I told him how stupid I was and it was all right. But do you know what? When you make a mistake and you look stupid to people, it's hard on you. It is really hard on you. You know what causes worry when it's past mistakes? Your self-doubt. It's false guilt. I'm so dumb. Why did I do that? Why? You know, all that. How about present worries? Present worries. Things that are going on in your life right now. I have, last year in May, we had to give up our home. We have a home up in Indiana. And we only needed it during Christmas, so I rented out part of it and kept part of it for me to be able to be there, you know, for Christmas. Because, you know, I didn't want to stay in a motor home. There's no place to put a tree. And, you know, there's lots of things about it. So an evangelist doesn't have many meetings in December, so that's what we did. Every year we'd go back to Indiana, and we had this home. Well, in May I had to give that up for different reasons. I don't feel sorry for myself about that. But you know what happened during that time? I was packing up and having yard sales and putting everything in. I've got storage in Missouri, in Indiana, and Tennessee. You think I'm spread out all over the place? I am. During that same time, my husband calls me, and you know what he tells me? Guess what, Loretta? And I said, if it's not good news, I don't know if you should tell me. I'm having a rough time, Kevin. You know, emotionally, I'm giving up my security of my home. You know, I try. He said, oh, don't worry about it. I said, yeah, you don't worry about nothing. You know, but anyway, so he says to me, I said, okay, what's going on? He said, the refrigerator in the motorhome went out. Now, girls, when you get a refrigerator, it's about $800 to $1,000, $1,200, right? A refrigerator in a motorhome is $4,000. Now, I wanted to post on Facebook, need refrigerator, please pray and send money to in this address. I wanted to do that, but I don't do that. You know, I don't think that's the purpose of Facebook, being a beggar and all that. So we didn't tell anybody. For 3 months, I didn't have a refrigerator. I can't explain how hard it is. I took all the shelves out of that broken refrigerator and put in a little cooler, something like what you got over there. And every day I'd go get ice and things that I needed. And I bought one of those plug-in coolers and put it in front of the stove. And it could keep things for a week at a time. But I had about half gallons of milk, you know. And I went and got packets of ketchup so I didn't have to have the condiments. Packets of mustard. I was going to get jelly from places. I was just having a good time getting all that, you know. Packets everywhere, you know. So, I'm trying to be positive-minded. You know, I'm not going to let this bother me. You know, and I didn't complain to the people, you know. And then to top it all off, we didn't have a truck traveling with us at that time. So guess how I had to go get groceries? A motorcycle. I am not joking. This is the truth. My husband had his motorcycle. We had this big 18-foot truck that's as big as a 18-wheeler truck, you know, and I didn't want to take it. I took it to the grocery store one time, and you just can't imagine how hard it is to even put the groceries up in it when you're climbing up there. And so Kevin started, and I had to go every day to the grocery store, plan my meals out each day and go get what I needed for that day, because nothing that I had working would keep anything from any period of time. So you could see me getting on the back of the motorcycle, and then I've tried to get my motorcycle license, and I just can't pass the test. It feels stupid. I went in Indiana, I went two times, and I failed both times, and the lady said, you can just come every day until you pass the test. And I said, no, ma'am, I cannot figure out what you want me to put on this test. I said, I'm not trying anymore. I just won't drive a motorcycle, because I know how to drive a motorcycle, but I won't do it because it's not legal. So somebody'd have to drive me. Jeannie had her permit, so she'd drive me sometimes, and Kevin would drive me. One time we went driving on the motorcycle, and when I got groceries, I put the bread between me and the person in front of me because I didn't want to flop in the wind, you know. And then I'd have the other thing, the two bags on this side, and, you know, we're just driving along like this, you know. One time we were in Missouri, and Jeannie took me to the store, and when we went to the store, rain came. I know it. You see how bad off I am. So we didn't have. So we went. We thought we got to do something. It was starting to rain. I said, Jeannie, there's a Sonic right up there, and they got awnings. It was happy hour. It was quite a sacrifice, Miss Mary. But we went to Sonic and we sat under there and drank a little small Coke and Diet Coke. And so we did that. And then we noticed we were low on fuel, so we went to this gas station to gas up. And when we went to this gas station to gas up, an older man came up to me and he said, hey, that's a nice looking bike you got there. You know, I wanted to act like I'm real cool. You know, I'm going to get on the plane today and somebody's going to come up to me and say, they think I'm country music because of all this garb, you know. And somebody's going to come up to me and they're going to say, do I know you? I said, you might. And I'll walk off. You know, I just try to act like I'm something I'm not. You know, if somebody's going to come up and ask me that, you know, I'm not going to tell them, no, I'm from Indiana, and I dress like I'm from Texas, and my, you know, I'm married to a cowboy that was born in Illinois. You know, it doesn't make sense. I'm not going to tell everybody all that stuff. So this man came up to us, and he said to me, he said, that's a nice looking bike. I said, yeah. He said, but your seat, that's not very comfortable. I said, it's not. You know, I just get on it and ride, you know. And he said, no, man. He said, I build motorcycles. You know, and you could tell he tattoos, you know, all that stuff, you know. You could tell he was a motorcycle man. So he said, so I started witness to him, you know, and I told him about us having a meeting here, and you ought to come, you know, and all tell him all this stuff. And so he said, well, come look at my seat. So I came and looked at it, and I went, oh, and I felt it. Oh, this is so nuts. I didn't care. But I was trying to be nice like JoJo, so I acted like I cared about his seat. So he pulls out, and I said, Jeannie, we got to get out of here. I don't know what's going to happen next, you know, the rain, you know, all this stuff. And so I get on the back with Jeannie, and this man's in front of us, and he slowed down, and he motioned us over. And I thought, what's going to happen now? What? Do you know what he said to me? He said, hey, he said, I'm going out the way you're going. He said, why don't you just hop on the back with me, and you can see how nice my seat is. Now, I just witnessed it, a man, you know, and I thought, really, can he do anything to me? I mean, I know all the moves. You know, I knew what to do if somebody tried anything, and I'm too old. Nobody's going to try it, and he's too old probably anyway. So I climb on the back of there. Jeannie's back there going, no, Mom. No. You, poor girl. She's thinking, you know, so I'm riding, and I'm saying, oh, yeah, this is a really nice seat, you know, oh, nice cushion, you know. I'm just really going on and on about the seat, you know, and I didn't put my arms around him, I promise. So we go pulling up at this church, and Kevin's standing outside. And he says to me, he says, Loretta, what? I said, I met this man, and he's got such a nice seat. Look at this. Oh, so that's my story of no refrigerator. You know, I 4 months to raise $4,000, and people finally started finding out that we didn't have one, and one church took up a love offering, another individual found out, and in August, the end of August, after the hot season, we got a refrigerator. Amen. But you know what my problem was? Is my pride. I deserve a refrigerator, God. You know, when I get worried about things, I just think he ought to be doing this for me. You know, I need this. This is not just a want. This is a need. God, you know, what am I supposed to learn? How to ride motorcycles with men? You know? So, I got to look at the time. Okay. Then, so what do you do about worrying? No, I've only got 2 points. Easy. You know, very easy. But all year long, I promise you, I have been working on this. You know, I'm just not going to let myself get down about worries. And if you feel convicted about the sin of worry, I want you to take note of these 2 points. Number one, when you're worried about one thing, and it's usually something you can't fix, fix something else. You know, when I'm worried about, like we had in February we had several breakdowns. When you have as many rigs as we going down this road, and you travel 30,000 miles a year, you're going to have breakdowns. You know that? That's just natural. This past week, we were broken down 4 times on the side of the road. One time, we made it to a parking lot of a drive-in, not a drive-in, but a cinema, you know, where there are movies going on. And I put on Facebook, if you see me in this parking lot, I'm not in the movies. You know, I did that because I want people. And my son went to put the jack under it, and it sunk into the asphalt. He was trying to change a tire. We left our mark in Rapid City, South Dakota. But you're going to have breakdowns. You know, that's just par for the course. And so we had several breakdowns, and there were funds are tight in December and January. And so February came, and those breakdowns started, and I thought, oh, what am I going to do? So my husband was off doing something, trying to get some money together or doing something to fix this breakdown. And I started looking around the motorhome. What can I fix? What can I fix? And you know what? I went to my shower. This sounds funny. But it's always bothered me. My shower has a little bit of a... It's not smooth. You know the inside part of it? It's not smooth. It feels rough. And I've used those magic erasers on it and bleach. And I've used all the, you know, soft scrub, everything like that. And I couldn't get that to feel smooth again. So I said, I'm going to go to the dollar store and see if I can find something that'll do it. So I just went up and down the cleaning aisle of the dollar store. And I found this plate, this stuff. It's only a dollar. It's called Works. Yeah. Hey, some of you know about Works. I love Works. My shower's smooth now. After 8 years of having a shower that was not smooth, it's smooth. You know what it does? It takes the soap scum off. I guess soap does leave us, you know, there, and bleach and all that doesn't take it off. I just squirted it down real good. And I thought, oh, you know, I forgot all about our repair problems because I was so excited about the soap scum getting up. It sounds stupid, doesn't it? But do you know it works? Some of you need to fix something you can fix. Now, I'm not talking about you fixing your husband or fixing your child. Fixing something. You know, like I cleaned one time when I was worried in March, and my husband left on a trip, and I saw the motorhome, and I said, you know, I'm worried about this, but I'm not going to let myself worry about it. So you know what I did? I got stuff, and I cleaned my carpet in my motorhome. I said, I can clean up spots. Now, you know how spots just magically appear again? Zoom, zoom, zoom. You know, they're back again. I'm not worried about anything, but I need to clean my carpet no matter what next week. But anyway, fix something you can fix. Number two, way to work on worry is remember this. Worry replaced by prayer equals trust. Worry replaced by prayer equals trust. You know, really, our reason for worrying is because we don't trust. Now look, I've talked to a lot of women that were from broken homes, abused backgrounds. Trust is an issue. I love God, and I try to trust him, but I'm just afraid to tell you this. I think I'm supposed to take on some of these worries so that I can help God take care of them. But God doesn't want it that way. When we started to worry about something, if we would set aside a time to worry about it. Now let me say this to you right here. There was a time in my young married life, this is almost stupid to say right now, but I used to pray for my husband's weaknesses. And isn't that stupid? I mean, you sit there and you make this list. Now help him with this because he's got a weakness with this. And, you know, I'm worried about him doing this. And, I wasn't worried about him running off with a woman. Don't worry about that. I was worried about just little things that I saw and I was worried. But I worried about those things, the more it brought it to mind, the more I watched for it, and that was bad. But I'm talking about worry about money. You know, we're having financial problems. I can't watch the news. I was at the hotel and the news was on while I was eating breakfast, and they got this big headline on about the government shutdown. And do you know, I could worry about that. I started thinking, maybe I should take, I got $800 in savings. Maybe I should take that $800 out of savings because they're going to steal it. You know, that's what they're saying. You know, you won't have any money in the savings account. And they're, yeah, it's like what happened in the 30s, the Great Depression. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, my $800, you know, what am I going to do about that? And isn't that silly? So whenever I see things like that, I say, worry replaced by prayer equals trust. So instead, I'll just pray about it. Now, Lord, you see this is going on, and you see the Republicans and Democrats are going against each other, but you know what? This is all part of your plan, and I just need to trust you with it. All of us need a very good dose of trust. If we really want to overcome worry, we've got to trust. We've got to say, God is in control of my life, and he is not going to allow anything to happen to me that's not within his plan. I got to trust him. When we were getting ready to take off last Monday from Montana, we thought a 20-hour trip, and one of my slides in the motorhome wouldn't come in. So I had to get on the phone and try to find somebody in the church that would come fix it. He didn't get there for an hour, and we're sitting there, and I'm just trying to think positively because it's getting later every minute to leave, you know, on this 20-hour trip. And so he finally got there, and he got it fixed for us, praise the Lord, and we put the slide in, never took it back out until we got to Omaha, Nebraska. But, you know, I could just sit there and stew and worry now if I'm not going to get out of here in time. Or I could think about the deer that's going to fly out in front of my motorhome. We're going to have a wreck because of the deer. When you're traveling at night in the West, deer are big. And they hit your motorhome, there ain't much left of the motor front of the motorhome. You know, I could worry about things like that. But I said, you know what? I can't do that. So I got up and dusted my motorhome. You got to do something. But part of the way to overcome worry is trust. That's the big, big deal, is just to trust God. Now, every evening I turn my worries over to God. You know what? He's going to be up all night anyway. God can take up your worries. God wants to care. He does care. You know, have you ever talked about somebody about something you're very concerned about? And they seem to just toss it off. I think God takes seriously every one of my concerns. I got lots of verses for that. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all, right, if you want to make a list of them so you can write them down for yourself. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Psalm 46:10, this is my favorite worry verse. Be still and know that I am God. You know, just be still, Loretta. Don't worry about it. Don't be fearful. Don't let your pride get in the way. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Yeah, just trust him. I don't know if you want to live your life without waves, this is the key. Practical things that you can do to stop worrying. You know what? If you are weighing down your life from worrying about your kids and worrying about your husband and worrying about finances and worrying about jobs and ask God to help you overcome it. You'll be a much happier person. You'll be living on the victory side. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for these ladies. I thank you for the chance that I've had to be here to talk to them, to share the things that I'm working on in my life. I pray now that you'll help them. God, there's got to be some ladies. I struggled there. I wanted to do that other talk, but you made me come back to this. So there's got to be some people here in this room right now that needed this talk about worry. Would you please, Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts? Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, who'd say to me, Loretta, I am one of those people that likes to worry, and I'm convicted about it right now, and I'm going to ask God to help me overcome worrying by doing some of the things you've recommended and challenged me to do. Anybody like that? You've got a problem with worry. Thank you for your honesty to yourself and to your God. Lord, you saw the hands, you know the heart. I pray that you'll bless us now as we have this little invitation for the entire meeting. Please help us to be better for you because of this time we're going to have right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.